Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Mark's Gospel account, 10th chapter. Beloved in the Lord, the desire for life is deeply embedded within humanity's nature. It's also equally corrupted by humanity's depravity. Fallen as we are, humanity seeks after life from poisoned fountains and spoiled desserts. Unable to discern life's author according to creation, we falsely assume life's existence according to activity. Humanity, you see, can only observe life's actions. It cannot behold life's source. Scientism can only measure and gauge brain patterns, blood pressure, organ activity. It can't answer why such things exist or how such things came into existence. Held captive to a materialistic worldview, none of the world's scholars can fathom the possibility of the power of the invisible God. None can fully explain the why or the how of life, and most certainly they cannot comprehend death. Yet the desire to live, and to live forever, remains. Why? The rich young man in our text desires life, not just for today, but forever. He comes to Jesus not just for himself, but for every man. For every man, woman, and child yearns for the same. And like every man, woman, and child today, like you, like me, this man's fallenness prevents him from knowing what is truly good and life-giving. In his fallenness, this rich young man cannot see past himself. Suffering from the original sin, this man, like all men, women, and children conceived and born according to nature, is curved in on himself. He lives, yet he is dead. His heart beats, but is as cold as stone. Oh, this rich young man is a good man, good according to the Pharisees, good in his own eyes. But let's face it, we all think we're good in our own eyes. And despite his perceived goodness, this rich young man knows he does not have eternal life. That's why he comes to Jesus. Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus says. No one is good but God alone. And with these first few words from our Lord, Jesus gives us more than we could ever fathom. For not only has he shifted the man's perceptions of Jesus, but also of life itself. The rich young man asked about eternal life, and now Jesus links his comments about goodness to God, who alone is the source of all life, both temporal and eternal. Jesus connects goodness with eternal life. And then he speaks the law. For the law is good. The law is holy. Not for the giving of eternal life, but for the diagnosing of what leads to death. And like a good humanist, this rich young man assumes too much of himself. Master, all these I have kept since I was a youth. Now think on this for a moment, beloved. Let the man's words actually sink in. Doesn't he echo our own hearts? This rich young man is exemplary. He's morally upright, the son of wealthy parents, but not spoiled by his wealth. He's religious, and he's an esteemed member of the synagogue. What parent would not be proud to have such a son? What church would not give him a prominent place in the leadership? And what young lady would not be drawn to his social position and personal excellence? Yet all of this, beloved, is worthless in Jesus' eyes. And even the rich young man is unsatisfied with such a life. This rich young man still hasn't found what he's looking for. And the same can be said of you, too. When looking looking at ourselves, we must confess with our Lord that we're lacking. Ever aware of our own insufficiencies, we, like this rich young man, attempt to comfort our souls with that which we believe is the sign of life. There's nothing more sure and certain about life than our own consciousness. We know we are alive because we feel like we are alive. And when doubts creep in, as they're sure to do, we want to recapture that feeling that we're alive. Pursuing the feelings of such a life costs money, because such a pursuit involves activity. And that's how we measure life in our fallenness, by how active we are. The more active we are, the more we feel alive. The more we do, the more we sense life's existence. The more we experience, the more we acknowledge that we are living life to the very fullest that we can. And the same is true for the opposite. The less we do, the less we experience, the less we feel alive, the less we feel like living. Depression sets in because we lack the signs of life in our life. Quality of life becomes a reason for living or dying, and so also becomes a measuring stick for the value, dignity, and worth of the lives of others. You see, beloved, original sin has turned us so inward upon ourselves that we search for life by taking it for ourselves, storing up treasures, memories, experiences, peoples, places, and things, so much so that we also neglect the lives of those around us. The lives of those around us aren't worth nearly as much to us as we believe we are worth to ourselves and to the world. And all such pursuit leads away from the source of life, eternal life, because it leads away from the Lord of life, the only source of all life, both temporal and eternal. Such a burden on the heart cannot be easily borne. Truly, beloved, it is a heavy burden for the heart of one who trusts in himself to sustain such a life for today, tomorrow, and forever. Your heart was never created for such a yoke. That's why we're discontent with what we have, and our neglect of those things God has given to satisfy our hunger and thirst for life eternal. For the issue with this rich young man, and with every man, woman, and child, isn't one of morality. Morality has to do with activity. No, beloved, the issue is one of faith. This rich young man has faith in himself. And such a faith will always be lacking. And he knows this. And you know this. For your conscience echoes the law's pronouncement. You have been weighed. You have been measured. You have been found wanting. In what world could you ever possibly fulfill me? Such is a revelation our hearts long to silence. The law always accuses. It's not given as a means to salvation, but as a revealing of that which is the wages of our death. It's brutally honest. It steals away our illusions of this life, and it crushes the idols we've stored up in our hearts. To hope in ourselves is to be eternally disappointed. So it's for this reason that Jesus, looking upon this rich young man, looking upon our fallen humanity, looking upon you, he loves him. Jesus loves him, and he loves us, he loves you, and he says, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and be following me. Jesus' ultimate concern is eternal life, the rich young man's and yours. So Jesus gives the man's heart an object to lay hold of and so also live forever. Jesus calls him to himself, for Jesus alone has been weighed, measured, judged, condemned, crucified, dead, and buried. He alone is without sin. He alone has overcome the accusations of the law. Though the law saw him as just any other man, as lacking the goodness that avails unto eternity, Jesus triumphed over the law by fulfilling the law perfectly, not only for himself, but for all, for every man, woman, and child, for you and for me, for the whole world. And the law did its worst, beloved. The law pierced But the law overstepped itself. Seeing Jesus as a sinner, the law crucified him, but Jesus is Lord of the law, its source and its fulfillment. Submitting to the Father's will and the law's demands, Jesus accomplished for all people that which we could never do on our own. And so receiving the law's condemnation, Jesus has actually brought condemnation to the law. Suffering the wages of sin, though he himself is without sin, Jesus shattered the strength of sin and the power of the law by shedding holy blood. Rising from the dead on the third day, the goodness of God overcame the wickedness of men. Life triumphed. The death he died to sin once and for all. And the life he lives to God forever and all eternity. Death no longer has dominion over him, for Christ is risen from the grave, and with him all who share in his death and resurrection. This is the object of our faith. For this is the triumph of life over sin, over death, over devil, and over all of hell. So, beloved, there is a righteousness from God that has been manifested apart from the law. This is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. This is God's gift of love to you, to me, and to the world, and it's a gift that's freely given. It's a gift to be received, not earned. It's a gift that is readily shared wherever Jesus is present, giving out his good gifts. And so when Jesus calls the man to be following me, he's also calling you and me to be wherever Jesus is. To be following Jesus is to be where Jesus is and to be receiving what Jesus gives out. Jesus has promised to be where two or three are gathered in his name, and that's why we're here this morning. We gather this morning because Jesus is here. We come to receive life, not to give evidence of it. We come before our Savior that he share with us his healing words and nourish us with the medicine of immortality. For the wages of our sin is death. And we were dead in our sins and trespasses, but Jesus has come among us to give us life, life that endures, life for today, tomorrow, and forever. And such a life is found only in the receiving of his life, the sharing of his death and resurrection. For this reason that we follow the Savior's voice to the waters of baptism. For joined with that water is the word of God, and hidden beneath that water is the passion of our God for us. We who are baptized have died with Christ. We've been buried with him in baptism, and we've been raised with him. What he has done has been given to us. What he has earned has been crossed upon our heads and upon our hearts, marking us as ones redeemed by Christ the crucified. What he has promised has been poured out upon us richly through his Holy Spirit. And unlike the giving of men, our God gives us more. As his baptized, we follow Jesus to the altar. There, he feeds us with his resurrected body and blood. There, under bread and wine, our hungering souls are fed. Our thirst for life is slaked. We offer nothing, but we receive everything. We come as poor, miserable sinners, and we depart with the pledge of the resurrection on us. We taste, we see the goodness of the Lord for ourselves. We receive as he gives. We listen as he speaks. We believe as he teaches. We live as he lives. For death no longer has dominion over him, so death no longer has dominion over us. The life we once lived has been crucified with Christ. And the life we now live today, we live by faith in the Son of God who loves us and gave himself up for us. Beloved in the Lord, lift up your heads. Behold the Savior's heart for you. Cast off the sins that so easily entangle you and seek your demise, and look to Christ, who alone is good and gives good gifts for life. Here is your heart's desire. Here is the life you long for. Here is your God. Eat and drink and rejoice with all of Christendom. Be following him all your days, and all your days will be filled to the fullest. For in Christ you are rich. In Christ you are righteous. In Christ you are redeemed. In Christ you are saved. And as such, your following of him now leads you to follow him out into the world. His love has been given to you. Now you are moved toward your neighbor. In Christ-like fashion, you are given to look upon your neighbor as Jesus looks upon you. You are to love those whom the Lord sets before you. You are to love as he's loved you, willingly offering yourself in service to those lives you find in your life. No longer are you concerned with finding life for yourself, pursuing the experience, searching for the certainty of tomorrow, but now, today, you are given to your families, your friends, your co-workers, even perfect strangers, so that they, receiving your love, may give glory to God, your Father in heaven. Following Jesus, receiving Jesus in word and sacrament, and then serving your neighbor, you will then find contentment, joy, true happiness. For you will be living life eternal even now, even today. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.